From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And as always, it is a privilege to be in studio to answer your questions throughout the United States, Canada, and around the world. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Joseph in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for taking my phone call.
My pleasure.
My question is in regards to Messianic Judaism. I've been doing some research about Messianic Judaism. I've even visited a Messianic Jewish synagogue. And I guess my question is, what's your opinion about Messianic Judaism? And does Messianic Judaism fall under Judaism? Does it fall into the category of being Christian? Is it somewhere in between? And can one be a Jewish believer of Jesus while still, I guess, holding to those things that we would call the law of Moses?
Well, I think what's really important is to recognize that Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. Until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything has been accomplished. So Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And I think the danger that you can find within strains of Messianic Judaism is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills all the types and shadows. Now, certainly, by definition, a Messianic Jew recognizes that Jesus has come and he is the Messiah. However, if you go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, Hebrews has a very strong corrective, saying that you are, in effect, by doing that, trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So we need to be very careful that we don't go back to types and shadows or even pine for them when the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, has come. And this, of course, is precisely what happened in the first century. You had the Jewish priests who wanted to continue their traditions, even though they knew that only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. And so rather than accept Messiah in their midst, what they did was they suggested that he did what he did by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So again, Messianic Judaism does recognize that Jesus Christ has come, but oftentimes puts an inordinate kind of emphasis on Old Testament types and shadows, and I think that is problematic. And obviously, we can't go back to the Mosaic Law. Trying to keep the Mosaic Law is impossible, but recognizing that Mosaic Law and Mosaic Law is not the same thing, which is to say there are different uses of the law, and thus we need to understand what we're talking about when we're talking about law. Civil and ceremonial aspects of the law no longer have governance over us because they have again been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But there are moral aspects of the law that are just as weighty today as they were when they were given to Moses. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carl in Delaware. Hi, Carl.
God bless you. And I'm so grateful for your knowledge. This is unbelievable.
Oh, bless you.
So today, a gentleman pulled up behind me, and he said, I have a pickup truck, and I have three-quarters of the tailgate is the verses from the Bible and some quotes. And he said, you know, you speeding and changing lanes without a signal does not sit well. And I said, I know it's one of my problems where I do rush around during the day being self-employed. And am I better off removing the stickers, or because I don't believe I can drive perfect 100% of the day. Am I better off removing the stickers, or what should I do?
Well, I love what you just did. I mean, instead of getting into an argument, this person, you contritely said, you know, you're right. And I think that's a great witness in and of itself. So the stickers became an opportunity to be a witness to someone, even though the initial witness was bad. I think the humility that you showed is fantastic. And not only that, but it is a reminder, if you're going to drive a lot of stickers in your car, slow down, obey the law, be a good representative of Christ, especially when you're wearing it on your sleeve, as it were.
I don't believe I have the capability of obeying the law all the time driving, because I do speed to go from one spot to another. I have to cover a large territory within the day, and it does save me time. So am I better off taking the stickers off then if I have to speed?
Well, again, what I would recommend, Carl, is that you obey the law. I mean, I will be totally honest with you. When I drive on a freeway, when I go on a long trip, I usually, if speed limit's 70 miles an hour, I usually go 76. Never been stopped. I mean, I believe that that's sort of the magic number. So I'm speeding a little bit. I suppose I'm breaking the law. But, you know, ultimately, what we are called to do as citizens, particularly as Christian citizens, is to obey the law. And so maybe this is a good way for you to recognize that obeying the law is better than trying to get more done in a short period of time. I would, if you are representing Christ in a very visible, tangible way, I would try to model Christ as much as I possibly could. All of us are, as you point out, imperfect, but we ought to be good ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Teddy in Hernando, Mississippi. Hi, Teddy.
Hello, Mr. Hank. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your remarkable gift and putting your yes on the table and allowing the world to share your knowledge. Quick question. In Luke, Jesus tells a story about the rich man going to Hades and the beggar going to Abraham's bosom. Do you suppose that is a parable, or was that an actual event?
Well, I think it is a parable, and Jesus is using it as a tool to teach his disciples, as opposed to this being a historical narrative. Now, it may have some root in historicity. Maybe there was an actual rich man. Maybe there was an actual beggar lying by his gate. And so this became the quintessential parabolic story to point to a greater truth. And that is, both of them are mortal. Both of them die. And when they die, the roles are quickly reversed, because the angels carry Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. He's comforted there, and the rich man finds himself in torment. And then the rich man wants Lazarus to go back and warn his brothers so his brothers do not come to the same fate. And then you have the enigmatic reply, they have Moses and the prophets. If they do not listen to that, then they're not going to listen even if someone rises from the dead. So in the case of the brothers, it's not that they can't believe, it's that they won't believe. It is a matter not of the intellect, it is a matter of the heart.
That's right, because it's clear to point out, too, that when Jesus mentions that just a short time later, he himself will be risen from the dead, and it's that they won't believe, it's not that they can't believe. In that parable, or that story then, where they're able to see Hades into heaven or paradise, do you think that is actual factual, that they're able to see across that great gulf, or was that just a simulation?
Well, I think that we need to be very careful about parables and not try to make the parables walk on all fours. Both Lazarus and the rich man are in Hades. In other words, Hades standing for the abode of the dead. There's a time that death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. But they're both in the abode of the dead. But one is being comforted, the other is in torment. And that's the point that's being made. The comfort comes from being a friend of God's. The torment comes from being separated from the love and the goodness and the grace of God. And that is just, in the sense of Luke chapter 16 in this parable, an earnest, a foretaste of what will come in the eternal state. It always gives me goosebumps when I think about this. if this is really so. And we can know that it is based on the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh. If this is really so, how then should we live? We should live as those who have a message to a lost and searching world, those who want to reach out to Muslims, to Mormons, to Jehovah's Witnesses, to garden variety pagans, those who seek to exercise their gifts and talents while still in the flesh so that they can lay up for themselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. We're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the station break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Sandy listening in Pomona, Kansas. Hi.
Hi. I was just going to ask you your position on yoga. I am working with other teachers at a school, and we have a yoga class on Thursday nights, and I've been participating, and I just talk to God, you know, through it. But what's your feeling?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's a black or white issue here from my perspective. I mean, you can divorce the principles behind yoga from the yoga exercises themselves. Although there are many within the practices of yoga, like Swami Parham of the Dharma Yoga Ashram, I think in New York, he says to think of asanas as mere body positions or stretching exercises is analogous to believing baptism is just an underwater exercise. So he's essentially saying you can't divorce the actual stretching exercises from the worldview that undergirds them. But you have to understand what yoga is. And I did a yoga acronym in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition to give people a little handle on what it is. Yoga actually has to do with yoking with Brahman, the universal cosmic consciousness of the universe. The that you hear so much about is actually a Sanskrit syllable that is used by Hindu yogis as a way of achieving an altered state of consciousness, because when you're in an altered state of consciousness, you've dulled the critical thinking process. And I would also add that the mind is often seen to be the obstacle to enlightenment. And the goal, therefore, is in this process of losing the critical thinking process, what you do is you create a new man, one who's happily mindless. That's the goal. The gurus themselves are very clear about this and have explained this in much detail, even in Western literature. And we were just talking about the exercises themselves or the body positions, the asanas. They themselves are ways of achieving a feeling of oneness with the cosmic energy flow of the universe. And so coupling that with breathing exercises and meditation practices, that's supposedly a pathway to spirituality, but it's a spirituality that we would not agree with in a Christian worldview. So bottom line is, can you divorce it from the Eastern underpinnings? Yes, but it really depends on the teacher that you have. I mean, I've tried yoga from time to time as I've tried to stay limber for golf. And some of the teachers really heavily promote the Eastern worldview. For others, it's simply body position stretching exercises that are very, very helpful in the golf swing. So I think you can divorce it, but got to watch the teacher.
And my teacher says, you know, to talk to God, you know, and then I said to her, you know, she said something about not being, you know, planned. And I said, well, you have to listen to the Spirit. And I, of course, meant the Holy Spirit. And I probably should have just said, you listen to the Holy Spirit. So I think the breathing and the stretching and the spiritual side is great. It's just I'm talking to God and I'm talking to Jesus.
Yeah, and as I said in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition and an entry on yoga, I say, well, it would be less than circumspect to imagine that evil lurks within each yoga posture. It is crucial that Christians are equipped to discern the difference between authentic Christian spirituality and Eastern non-Christian spiritualities. And if one can divorce the spiritual precepts of yoga from the somatic practices, yoga may be beneficial, but then again, it might not be yoga. I've written about this again in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which you can find on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jake in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
If you'll allow me, let me lay this out really quick, and I just want to get your opinion on something that I feel that I myself have an opinion on. Through my journey in North Africa multiple times, I have many Muslim friends, and I just love them to death. But speaking with them, and then over the last few years studying apologetics and studying the Quran for what it is, because I know that Islam is so hard to pin down amongst all the sects and everything. But for the Quran for what it is, the life and the sayings of Muhammad, I've come to the conclusion that groups like the Islamic State, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, in my opinion, it would be hard to call them extremists or radicalists if they're following the Quran for what it is at its core. And my friends and others whom I love who practice it peacefully, maybe they're the ones that are taking it radically because they pick and choose what they follow and they want to follow it peacefully and practice it peacefully. What would your opinion be on that? I know that's probably an unpopular opinion to have. I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer on the radio, but I appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome, and I think you are absolutely right in what you said. And when you do travel, when you go to Muslim countries, when you experience Islam, when you understand Sharia, and particularly understand that Sharia is state and state is Sharia, that there's no distinction between the two, I think that you quickly see the flaws in the narratives that are being communicated in Western universities and through the Western media, and really to gain a perspective on what creeping Sharia is like in the modern world, all you have to do is go to Brunei. That, of course, is in Southeast Asia. Back in 2014, so it wasn't all that long ago, the Sultan of Brunei announced his plans to impose Sharia, and he's now done that in three phases. The first phase back then included fines and prison sentences for crimes such as pregnancies out of wedlock, propagating religions other than Islam, and not attending mandatory Friday prayer. The second phase included floggings and cutting off of hands for property offenses, and the third, stoning for offenses like adultery, abortion, homosexuality, and even blasphemy. And all of this, said the Sultan, is to cohere to Allah's command as written in the Quran. So what Brunei is imposing on its citizens is standard fare in Muslim countries. It's not radical Islam, it's run-of-the-mill Islam. And even conversion from Islam to Christianity, according to modern-day Sharia, is punishable by beheading, by hanging, by stoning, and, well, you can fill in the blanks. And if anyone thinks this, again, is radical Islam, consider that more than 1.5 billion Muslims worldwide, in other words, you take the corpus of Muslims and the vast majority affirm the principles and precepts of Sharia. And Sharia has spread to a point what has found near universal acceptance in the Muslim world. So again, when you travel as you have, you see it for what it is. So the reality is that we have a huge, huge problem, and Western governments, academic institutions, media outlets are bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus that animates global Islamic jihadism. Now, obviously, the only real solution to a disintegrating West and a resurgent Islam is the power of the gospel. And so we have to keep in mind that as Christians, it's not just about cursing the darkness, it's about lighting a lamp in the midst of the storm, or building a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. So we should be doing what we can to understand Islam, to befriend Muslims. As I've said many times on this broadcast, Islam is not peaceful or tolerant. If you think it is, try to go to Saudi Arabia and take out your Bible in a park and read it in public. You'll find out how tolerant Islam really is. It is a very violent religion and has always historically spread by the edge of the sword. However, just as you mentioned, there are many peaceful and tolerant Muslims. So we have to make that distinction. But if anyone takes the teachings of Muhammad seriously, if anyone takes the teachings of the Quran seriously, if anyone reads the five courts of jurisprudence, the five schools in Islam, carefully, it's very, very hard to imagine what life would be like when Sharia gains critical mass within the context of a culture. Now, some European cultures are finding out what that's like again. Today, they're gaining critical mass through migration without assimilation, which is the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. One of the best illustrations I've ever heard for what's going on. And so much bad information is being communicated, partly because there are people who are ready to buy the lie without looking at the reality of Sharia and the Quran. They simply listen to politicians instead of recognizing what Sharia and what Islam is all about. My appreciation to all of those that have participated in the broadcast today. Love to talk to many more of you. We'll be right back here next week, Lord willing, with more of the broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.